has joined.
Good evening.
You remember your question?
Well, yeah, in a roundabout way.
Okay, well, hold off on it because someone else arrived and maybe they
has joined.
Question. Okay.
Good evening. Monica, do you have any questions tonight?
I think I do want to listen to the class today. And,
okay.
We talked about Reuben and being from Asian China, I think you said.
Yeah, the tribe of Reuben is in China.
Can you tell me how that happened, or was it given the land, or that was the territory from Jacob?
It wasn't from Jacob. It was Abraham sent his five children to the east, and they landed in India and essentially started the two-column system out of the east now. And they became the Brahmin caste.
Okay, so that was from Abraham, from his children with the Torah?
That's correct.
Okay, I thought you mentioned Reuben, and I was thinking of Jacob.
Right. I did mention Reuben because there are 10 lost tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean, a lost tribe?
Means they're no longer connected to Israel.
They're no longer connected to the land of Israel. But that doesn't mean that they've lost their connection to Hashem. So the tribe of Dan ended up in Ethiopia.
And Reuben ended up where? In India, you stated?
No, Reuben ended up in China.
Okay.
And there's a different tribe, but we're not sure, in Japan, and another one in Korea.
Okay. Is this why we have such a turbulent relationship with China?
Well, when you say we, you mean the United States?
Yes, yes.
The reason we have a turbulent relationship with China comes from the angel in charge, the Sephiroth in charge. So we have to look at that, and I don't really have any information as to which of the angels, which of the Elohim is in charge of China and which is in charge of the United States. Although I have been told that in the year 2000, the tribe of the negative system itself, the Satan, took over the management, so to speak, of the United States from Gabriel, from the Gabriel, which is the angel in charge of Kibbutz.
And why, how did that happen? Well, how did Samuel take it from Gabriel? Was it in the spiritual battle?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. And what was the battle? The battle was between Iran and the United States. It was the Arabs and the United States. You know, and the Satan won that battle spiritually. That's why the towers were blown up.
So where did Gabriel
Gabriel go? Is he still part of the United States, or is he no longer a part of this nation?
He has his own nation. I'm not sure which one.
Okay. And the spiritual world and how Samuel took over is because of all the negativity in the nation, in the United States?
The negativity is the effect. It's always a spiritual cause. What is the nature of the United States? It's a very sharing country, but it's also very selfish. Correct?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I see that.
You can look at the actions over the centuries. You know, it's 200 years old. You can look at the actions and see what was involved. The United States was formed as a cancer, right? As a cancer meaning the astrological sign. The July 4th is in cancer.
Okay.
So it means when you establish something, you're establishing it under that sign?
Yes.
If that sign is not a positive sign, that's what you get?
All signs have positive and negative.
Okay, so then why would you, what makes the shift into
because the sephirot are moving. They move relative to each other all the time. That's called the process. That's the cycle, the wheel of life. It's called the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Good sometimes, evil other times. It's a cycle, it's a process. That's a continuous process. And when a particular angel has lost his battle on the spiritual level, then the nation will lose its battle on the physical level. And the angelic leaders contend with each other all the time for power, for additional energy.
Really?
It's not really power in the same sense that we think of power, but they contend with each other for additional energy to be standing closer to God. And when they lose, essentially they die. They go dip themselves in the river of fire called the Nahar Dinur. And they get all of the negativity burned off of them. And they are born anew as the same name, but maybe they get a different country, different situation. Or maybe it's the same. We don't really know.
How is that evidence conceived on Earth? How did that information appear on Earth?
When a nation loses the war between another nation, that's how it's perceived.
So, if the Jewish tribes that are in other nations of the world, if there's a battle, they each stay true to the nation that they're living in?
The battle on Earth is is defined and set in the battle in the heaven, the spiritual battle. So who's going to win that battle? It's always known, because it's already won in the spiritual level. When Jacob returned to Israel, Jacob returned to the land of Israel, and he wrestled with the angel of Esav. That essentially was a spiritual battle. Esav and he were going into war, and they did go into war. But Jacob, in order to be to defeat Esav, Jacob had to defeat the angel first. Everything is decided in the spiritual level.
Oh, wow.
The physical just follows the effect of whatever happens in the spiritual. And if you're not energy sensitive, you don't know until you see the effect in the physical.
Now, you said that we lost the war with Iran. We weren't in war with Iran.
Oh, you weren't?
I mean, we were there, but it wasn't. I mean,
Where did the
Yes, and I mean, we were there with the troops, and we were helping the Afghanistan. And
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
We were at war. We've been at war with Iran for months, for years. They just have said, well, the United States is too large on a physical level, so I don't have the resources in the spiritual level. I have to conserve my resources, so I run a guerrilla war against the United States. Isn't that what's happening? Been happening for 30 years.
But so is China. I mean, China's basically doing the same thing.
When you say it's doing the same thing, I'm not sure what you mean.
As in, China
wants to be the number one nation in the world. That's their goal. They've been saying for years that it's the 21st century is their century. They want to control the world by the end of the 21st century. So that battle has been going on in the spiritual level. It has not yet been determined what will be the outcome.
Well, I was wondering about that. When they have a battle, is the decision made upstairs before the battle takes place?
No, the battle takes place, and then the outcome is sealed, accepted and sealed by Hashem. Otherwise, because it could be that the battle, the winner of the battle is not conforming to the plan of creation. So Hashem has to certify it, say, yes, it's acceptable. Otherwise, the nation, the angel who's lost, what happens historically? Two nations fight over resources, and one becomes victorious. And then 100 years later, the culture of the loser has taken over the culture of the winner. Historically, that's happened over and over and over. That's the pattern. What is it really telling you? It's telling you that the nation who won didn't win, because what's important? To control the country, control the people, or to have your culture remain positive and ascending.
I think I would probably choose positive and ascending.
You want your culture to be ascending.
garden?
That's the spiritual goal, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
You don't do or don't think so?
I think so.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, we're so used to accepting the Western worldview of what is physical is important that we don't look at the spiritual. That's what Kabbalah is starting to help you achieve. To understand that nothing happens without a spiritual cause. So if two countries are fighting in the physical world, it means that they fought in the spiritual level.
That I wasn't aware of. I didn't know that.
But what, you know, why did they fight in the spiritual level? Because one wanted more energy, one needed more energy, one's culture. You know, these are just manifestations of the facts, of the goals, of the desire to receive of the nations.
Well, let me ask you why when China, let me put it this way, when China was in the poorer state, let's say, why was it established that so many countries of the world really built China by sending everything over there to be made instead of having it made in their own countries? Actually, the world's responsibility as to who achieves and who doesn't, and it's just cooperation, I would assume, based on what I've seen.
You're not looking at the full picture. Yes,
I'm missing something.
The countries sent overseas, they sent to China productive capabilities. But what were they really doing? China had won they were following an economic theory that says everybody is better off if we lower the duties. If the duties go away, everybody's better off because the economy surges. But that's all physical. Spiritually, why did China receive all of these production capabilities? Because their culture won. What is the nature of the tribe of Reuben? The nature of the tribe of Reuben is that it is the largest in population. If I'm correct, I believe that's true. And the tribe of Reuben is powering the Chinese nation.
Really?
And nothing happens except it starts with the Jewish people.
Is that fact?
The Jewish people, I thought it was
a manufactured thing.
You're looking at the physical effect, Bernice. You're not looking at the spiritual cause. Gets us to Brandy's question. Brandy?
Pardon?
Brandy?
I had to mute because it's thundering and lightning here. My question was, I saw recently...
All that negative human activity.
Human activity?
Yeah, all that negative human activity.
Okay.
I'm joking. I'm not joking, but I'm playing with it. Go ahead and ask your question.
My question was, I recently saw that the government of Israel failed and that they were having a lot of trouble over there and possibly they'd have to have another election to go on. So with their government failing in Israel, how does that affect the rest of the world?
essentially a conflict between Esav and Jacob, who is Israel. So nothing happens. When Esav is ascending, it's he is in control of the world, then the children of Israel, Jacob, is not. He is being downtrodden. If Jacob ascends, then Esav declines. But if there is conflict within the tribes, which is what you just described by saying the government failed, they had a unity government. Because Netanyahu was the leader and Gantz was the other leader. They had an agreement that Gantz would take over from Netanyahu. Except that there is a prophecy that Netanyahu will be the last prime minister of Israel before the coming of Mashiach. So it could not be that agreement would hold. And so what happened? The Blue and White Party, which is what Gantz led, because on a physical level, because Gantz accepted something he said he would never do, and that was to agree with Netanyahu, because Netanyahu is a power basic structure. Because Netanyahu is soul is coming from the heir of Rav, according to the modern Kabbalists. And so when he accepted that Netanyahu would be the prime minister first, it was foregone conclusion that he would never become, Gantz would never become prime minister. And you see the result. There's another government form. And but Gantz is not in the running. His Blue and White Party has been decimated, and there are now three right-wing parties that are running. Two of them essentially dislike, as a kind word, for Netanyahu, who abuses the legal system, and the projection is one of those three will win with 30 or 35 people, and they will be able to form a government with the religious parties, because the religious parties have grown by virtue of, in the last 3 or 4 years, there's been 250,000 American Jews making Aliyah each year. And they tend to follow the Orthodox communities. And they tend to be right-wing and support whoever's going to pay them the most. But you have a mixture in Israel on the spiritual level between the souls that are Erev Rav and the souls that are traditional, you know, the children of Israel souls. And so that conflict is ongoing, and that's what the election's about. But until it's settled what will happen in Israel, the world is going to be in chaos. Because first, Israel, whatever happens in Israel, repeats itself. As an example, there were 6 million people who died from the children of Israel in the Shoah.
But why was that allowed?
Let me finish, and then I'll answer that question. There were 6 million souls of the children of Israel who died in the Shoah. Before the Second World War, there was roughly 15 million Jewish people And by 1960, there was roughly 15 million Jewish people. There's been no decline in the total population. The essential aspect, when the 6 million died, what's publicized is that there were 50 million non-Jewish people who died in the war. Because the Torah tells us when the Jewish people are in conflict, the world suffers on a 10-to-1 ratio. So it wasn't 50 million, it's actually 60 million. But these are estimates. So the 50 million is the number that came out as the estimate.
I heard 60 also. But, I don't know how a lot of this information gets out because sometimes there's variations on things and I'm not quite sure.
Of course, if there wasn't variations, then everybody would see clearly. You're asking why was the Shoah allowed to happen?
Yes.
Because the children of Israel needed to be cleansed. They had just gone through 500 years of reincarnation where they refused to unify with each other. They were constantly in arguments with each other. The Reform was arguing with the Orthodox, and then the Renewal came out, and then the other one comes out. And all of these are conflicts within the spiritual realm manifested in the physical world, and it's basically conflicts between the tribes, which started, if you look, read the book of Judges. The tribe of Benjamin was almost destroyed.
What was the tribe of Benjamin? That's another one I wanted to hear about. The tribe of Benjamin has always been what?
The tribe of Benjamin in the book of Judges was almost destroyed. The 11 tribes went to war against the tribe of Benjamin. And they killed all but a few hundred or a few thousand of the men, and there were none of the women were left. So they had, and the other 11 tribes had said, we're not going to give our daughters to the Benjamin. And it would have died out if they didn't arrange for a mating ceremony, which is done on Tu B'Av. Well, all that story of the women going out in borrowed white clothes and meeting the men in the fields, and that's who they married. That's the first time that happened was to replenish the tribe of Benjamin.
So where do you find this information about all these things?
Well, if you study, you learn it. You listen to people like me on Questions and Answers Wednesday, and you get the information. Where did I get it? I listen to people giving lectures, adding to the information. I ask questions. What I read this in the Bible. What does this mean? And I got information. And others, parts of the information, I meditated on, and I get information through my meditations. And sometimes I don't even have to meditate on it. It just shows up in my head.
I've had that happen, but not on this type of subject. I used to ask questions about different things.
You haven't been trained to think like this. You've been trained to look at the world physically. I don't like, you tell me all the time, Bernice, I don't like what's going on in this world.
So,
and you're right.
What
happens in the physical world starts in the spiritual. And what the spiritual is just repeating a pattern that started with Moses and then to Joshua and then to the book of Judges and then to the book of Prophets and then to the men of the great assembly. This whole process, the stories just are all repeating the same issues.
But
Brandy, have I answered your question yet?
Pretty much.
Okay.
What I got was, as long as turmoil and you're in Israel, there'll be turmoil all over the world. And as soon as they get together.
You're breaking up, so I'm not hearing you clearly.
I said, as soon as they get together, then things will straighten out.
When the Jewish people stop fighting among themselves and give honor, kavod, to every other Jewish person, when you're not talking about badly about somebody that's Jewish, when you're not doing Lashon Hara in your synagogue, when you're praying in the synagogue or listening to the Torah and people are talking, when they stop that, that's when the rest of the nations will come and support Israel. Anti-Semitism is caused by the arguments within the children of Israel. That's the bottom line. There is no other cause for anti-Semitism except the Jewish people, the children of Israel. You were taught that in the last class of the basic classes.
Right.
But you don't live it. You don't understand it. You don't think it's real. Whatever the reason is, if we have an argument that is not for the search of truth, then we are causing the delay in the coming of Mashiach. If we have an argument that is looking for truth, and it's looking for the essence, we're trying to unify and find how to unify through searching for truth, then Israel ascends and Esav declines. And the Muslims are essentially the tool that balances the two.
Balances the two?
Yeah, when Israel isn't balancing. Remember, Noah had three sons. Yafet, Ham, and Shem. The three sons represent the three nations. Esav, the children of Israel, and the Orient. Or put it another way, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. The Hindus are essentially a two-column spiritual system that is idol-worshipping, multi-gods. The conflict is between Esav and the children of Israel. And all the other nations are standing around looking at that and waiting for it to be decided. Now, I'm speaking spiritually, but you see the same effect in the physical if you look for it.
I never thought about, maybe I don't know the difference in thinking. I never thought about the Jewish people being gossipers, you might say. I always thought of them being more kindness, not gossiping.
That's what they're supposed to. We are supposed to be kind.
But that's
we're
what
supposed
I.
To.
I mean, I know that they had disagreements and arguments, but for the most part, I felt that they were more of kindness rather than of argumentation and what have you. Although you do hear some arguments for disagreements from time to time, but for the most part, I always thought they had
what's going on in Israel right now? I just described it. You have three different right-wing parties who are arguing. Why can't they agree? Because the leaders have.
I wouldn't think of Israel being rightist. I mean, to me, that's like dictatorship on the right. Especially so much to the right.
No, the right, being right in the politics of Israel means that you don't want a two-state solution. It means that you want to put more settlements in the West Bank. It means that you don't really, you search for peace. But you search for peace not in a loving way, in a harsh way, in a Gevurah way. And the justification on the physical level is that the Arabs only understand one way, strength. That's what it means to be right in Israel. That's not what it means to be right in the Americans. So you have to understand the culture and what is the difference in the culture. America isn't a Jewish culture. Israel is a Jewish culture. But they've been at war for 70 years. Really for 170 years. When they started to return to Israel was in the late 1800s. And that's when the conflict started. But our image from the United States, the way it's presented, look at from the state of Israel in 48 until about 1990, the temples, the culture of the American Jew, whatever Israel did was correct. We support Israel, whatever they do, because they're small, they're defenseless, they're surrounded by enemies, etc., etc. But that's not Israel today. Israel's economy is, you know, something like eighth in the world. And it's one of the happiest countries in the world. You're under all this stress of outside people and wars, and they want to kill us all, and yet the satisfaction level of the people, based on surveys of happiness, the country that is the most happy is Norway, but Israel's like in the top 10. It's all available. All this information is available. I'm not making it up. You can go online and verify it. I just do make it my business to read and then ask why. Why is this happening in the physical world? And then I have to look for the spiritual cause.
So you have to look in this. But how do you know that you're connection to the spiritual world is correct? How does one know that? I mean, isn't so much based on somebody's opinion or somebody's thought? How does everyone agree?
You're listening to me. It's my opinion. Is my opinion based on something? Yes, it's based on my meditations. It's based on my analysis. It's based on my perception. Is it right for you? You have to determine that for yourself. I've been teaching that for how long have I been teaching that? For 30 years now?
I know you've been teaching that, but I don't know whether it's that. I've recently had questions as to why it's this way, especially the last 4 years since they identified so closely with a president that we have. And
Netanyahu has the soul of the Arab Rav, and he was responsible for Israel as prime minister for 20 plus years. And Trump's soul is also Arab Rav. How can I be sure of that?
Trump's soul is?
Of course.
I don't know. That is one I can't understand. That was really...
Who do you think is in control of the world? Who do you think is running the world?
Hashem.
Correct. And who did Hashem choose to run the world? Running the world means keeping the world in balance, keeping the world from destroying itself. And sometimes you have to be strong and warlike, and other times you have to be soft and loving. But who did he choose to run the world? The Tzaddikim of the Jewish nation. The righteous people in the Jewish nation are running the world. So whatever happens to the Jewish nation is a forerunner of what's going to happen to the world at a level of 10 to 1.
Well, to me, it's almost like it's already established that you have no voice, really, in it. So if that's the case, you don't... Are there... voices that can be heard to achieve a different thought or a different balance, or does it all...
Just have to learn how to meditate and get into the spiritual level and have your conversations with the entities in the spiritual level. And then you'll know what's going on.
I'd like that.
Just don't tell anybody you're doing it, because the outside world is going to lock you up if they don't study Kabbalah.
I know. They laugh at me if I tell them I saw a spirit.
Exactly.
Yes, I know that. Very interesting world. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask about oh my goodness, my mind has given me a problem lately. I was going to ask about Avram's descendants, not from the first wife, but from his second wife. That's where he only had Isaac with the first wife, but
no.
He had all the other tribes with the second wife, which was Hagar.
Correct. It was Hagar after she did tshuva. So her name is Keturah, which means drawing close.
Oh, all right, Keturah. So what happened?
Hagar is a name that means the foreigner.
Reformer?
No, Hagar, the foreigner.
Oh, all right. All right. So
when she did tshuva, and she, became, literally she became Jewish, but she didn't convert in the practical sense. It's like she, you know, she was just following the teachings of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So she had five children and she sent them to the East, which meant they went into India and they started the Hindu religion, which was, you know, filled with idols, and they brought the idols and kept the idols, but softened it and taught it love and kindness. And what do you have out of Buddhism? It's just a continuation of that same aspect.
So they did not, they may have been a tribe, but they did not necessarily continue with their religious or spiritual aspect.
Who's they?
The different tribes that
went. The lost tribes, or who are you talking about? The lost tribes, or the children, or Jews?
I'm talking about the tribes, all the tribes. If they all descended east, if they went to Japan, if they went to China.
I said there were five children of Keturah that went to the east.
Five. Well, wait a minute.
Ten lost tribes who we don't know where all of them are. They're spread throughout the world. The tribe of Dan, we know, was in Ethiopia. Rabbi Berg said that the tribe of Reuben was in China. And there were other tribes in Japan and in Korea, but we don't know which tribes. And it's not all of the people. As an example, there's a tribe of Manasseh consisting of 30 million people living in India. They have been identified, they have been documented and proven to the rabbis in Israel. They are all eligible under the right of return. They're all eligible, 30 million of them, to go into Israel.
Wow, how would that happen?
But only 600,000 have made the Aliyah.
So you do know about those, but so how many then are absent from view, so to speak?
How many are absent from view?
Absent, I think, from view.
Abraham
not knowing where they are.
Abraham was. God told Abraham his children, his offspring would be more than the. Being able to count the grains of sand in the ocean or on the beach. They're just concealed.
Would they know?
Who's they?
The tribes that are missing. Would they know who they
no,
are?
No, they don't know who they are.
They don't know who they are. So then what life would they be living attached to what faith then, or what spiritual.
It's all over the map. There's a tribe of American Indians that is being considered to see if they can convert, if they can come to Israel, because of their background and what their culture is taught, and where did their culture come from. And we have Hebrew letters written on rocks in New Mexico in the 1100s.
Really? That is interesting. Because I've kind of, I used to have one view when I was growing up. Had one view when I was growing up about the Indians. Of course, that came out of the history books and movies.
And who writes the history now? Bernice, listen. Who writes history? The history books are written by the winner.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but who's the winner? Is it the culture that wins, or the war that is won?
Oh, that's amazing how everything has changed. anybody else has woken up to that yet.
There are people in Israel, historians in Israel, who are publicizing and writing about this.
Mm-hmm. How do the people in Israel feel about all this? Are they aware? Do they have awareness that way?
There's 6 million of them, and they each have their own opinion.
Oh, my. They each have their own opinion. That's really interesting. How do they unify? How do they unify to vote somebody in?
That's the Mashiach's job. Our job is just to treat each other with human dignity. Respect the right of someone to disagree.
Yeah.
To respect the right of someone to go their own path. But it's even that's hard, because the Western world teaches we want to control you.
Yeah, but it is hard when you see somebody doing all the wrong things against.
Wait a second. There's no such thing as wrong things.
No, everything is right. I mean, what everybody does is correct.
That's correct.
So then how does one establish any kind of a balance in the world of compatibility and such?
When you stop judging others, then you're compatible. The phrase is, I'm right and you're right. But the Western world teaches that if I'm right, you have to be wrong. And that's a false premise.
That's interesting, trying to adjust your feelings into that small box.
When you argue with your husband,
well, what do you
he's
do?
Right.
Let me
he's
ask
right
you.
And you're right. Both
what?
Of you are arguing. You're both right. You have to treat each other with respect.
Well, sometimes we get a little bit beyond that.
If he doesn't treat you with respect, mm-hmm. does that mean that you have to respond by treating him with a lack of respect? No.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're told not to hold grudges, not to be angry at each other. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's easy to say it. It's not easy to do it. But that's our lives, trying to be better today than we were yesterday. But the better is defined by me, by you, for yourself. I can't judge whether you're better today than you were yesterday. Only you can know that. And it's defined by what you think. But we're all influenced by the Western culture. And if we don't recognize that we're influenced by the Western culture, then we'll never get out of the mess. That's my opinion.
That's your good. That's a very good opinion. I value that. But I can ask Hashem, but is Hashem going to help me to reestablish my opinion, so to speak? We all have an opinion. We can all be 50% correct in our opinion. And yet, some days, it becomes 100% correct in one's opinion and nothing correct in the other's opinion. So how does that happen?
Bernice, you have an opinion, but you don't have the right to express your opinion.
Oh, okay. So you're better off not to say.
That's silence is golden.
That would be the best way not to express opinion, even if asked. Or if everybody else is expressing, it's better you don't express either.
If everybody else is expressing, it's better if you don't. If someone asks, then you're entitled to give your opinion. But always explain, it's my opinion, And it doesn't mean that I'm right. You have to decide, whoever's listening to you has to decide whether your opinion is right for them.
Okay. Because for some reason my opinion is not correct with him. And then sometimes we're all on the same page together. But I don't...
That's the cycle of the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're running out of time. Does anybody have any questions?
Oh, I could go on this with hours and hours and hours.
That's why I say we're running out of time.
That's a challenge, really is. Anyway.
You all have a beautiful evening.
So do you. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom gadol to everyone.
Shalom gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Bye.